Welcome into the Fan pregame, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This is not Kipper and Bourne. They're off, and we are on our second hour of a three-hour show. Justin and Ailish here. We've got 2 full hours jam-packed remaining. We're going to do a year in review with producer Mike in a moment. Chris Cuthbert is going to join us around 5:30. You might know him.
Might see him this weekend.
You might know him, yes. Ron McLean and Charles Davis to wrap up our show. The first hour, we also have a podcast. We never bring it up. We have a podcast. You can check it out. Fan pregame, wherever you get your podcast. Well, we had a great hour. We started with holiday headlines, so things we would want this holiday season to see in the headlines. Some good stuff there. Savannah Hamilton just joined us from Philadelphia because the Raptors are playing the Phillies tonight at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet. Yeah, what did I say?
Phillies.
Phillies. They're not playing the Phillies. I think they could beat the Phillies, though.
They might be able to beat the
Phillies. That would be good if the Raptors play the Phillies. The
a little
Sixers.
Reprieve from Joel Embiid.
The Sixers on 590, the Fan, and of course, Sportsnet 1. So, hour two. We are going to begin with a segment that producer Mike created for us. Producer Mike, would you like to come on?
Yes, thanks for having me on.
There he is. He's in the Sam McKee chair.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
And is there thanks, like a name tag on it?
Yeah, I know I should have like a little nameplate. Yeah. By the way, thank you for the offer, the small Christmas hats. I noticed I didn't get one.
What if I...
Any particular reason?
Can you clip it into your beard?
Yeah, do you want it?
It's because I'm bald, like Costanza.
Come on, there's the joke. There it is.
And I'm getting ready with my grievances.
Okay. Yeah, well, you could put it on your headphones if you'd like.
All right. So, you know how everyone does these year-end reviews or top stories of the year? You kind of go through a list and blah, blah, blah. So what we did was we came up with 5 categories to debate. But there's only 2 at the end that you got to vote for. So there could only be 1 winner. So there's 2 of you. You're going to vote on them all. And if for some reason you were tied, we're going to call on Judge Holly to break the tie. Holly's also never appeared on the... Judge Holly, first off, are you there?
I'm here, yep.
Judge Holly!
The voice.
Hey, Holly.
Andrew Holland, who keeps us on the air every day, of course, jumping on with us, which is great. We've been waiting for this moment for quite a while now. Judge Holly on. So this is the proper format, I think.
Right.
This is a good idea.
Are we ready to go?
I'm ready.
Okay, the first one is the Toronto sports scene. And for all the great listeners out there, viewers, Raptors, Jays, a very
another
national.
Banner year. Another banner, banner year. Yeah. Toronto sports scene.
Wow.
So here we go. So we're going to give you the honorable mentions and then the final 2. Honorable mentions. John Herdman joins TFC. That was a pretty big story. Nick Nurse gets fired. Didn't make the final 2.
Wow.
Think about that. The Leafs win a playoff round.
That's not in this?
No, because we always think like, oh, they lost to Florida. But they beat Tampa.
That
we
was,
forget. First
we almost
win.
Hung a banner for that, Mike.
We almost. I think we did one in the office. Leafs win the playoffs. Jays Paul Barrios in that loss to the Twins.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty crazy. That someone could argue that's one. So those did not make the list.
Those are honorable mentions.
Just to be clear, I cannot choose these.
No.
I cannot determine that is the biggest sports story in Toronto this year?
You cannot. You could,
okay, this is your
You could critique
thing.
My list right. and say I was wrong.
Okay.
Let me have it if you have to. Okay, final 2. Dubas Presser gets him fired.
Okay.
Which is different from Leafs fire Kyle Dubas, because GMs get fired all the time. The guy literally held the presser and was fired for it. Like, we've heard that. So Dubas Presser gets him fired, and Jays go all in on Ohtani. Who do you like, Ailish?
I mean, recency bias, but Jays all in on Ohtani might be the most electrifying and disappointing roller coaster that I've ever been on. I was strapped and ready to rumble, and it was heartbreaking. But to just be in that lifetime type of moment, right? This is a generational guy. He's the newest Babe Ruth. Like, we're never going to see someone like this again is what we're feeling. We're picturing him in Blue Jays blue or seeing him, you know, on the CN. It was just the CN Towers, Shohei, everything felt like it was happening. I think that was probably the biggest thing that happened in Toronto sports. And it's recency a little bit just because we are still dealing with the highs and lows, but.
Yeah, I'm disagreeing. I don't even think that's in my top 2.
Oh, if I have to only get to choose from those 2,
I know. Well, was there something that you think could threaten those 2? The Leafs winning a playoff series?
I think so.
Bigger than Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes? I mean, I think so.
Understanding the history of what went into winning and winning that. I would have put that in my top 2 for sure.
I just think the Ohtani thing, like, it was fun to look at the fantasy world of adding Shohei Ohtani. Like, we got swept up in it. We were excited. It was a lot of fun to explore that topic. However, it was never real life. It was fantasy.
It was real life.
It was not real life. It was fantasy. This guy was always going to the Dodgers. Always. Always going to the Dodgers. I mean, it was just a matter of getting to the point where the
you
most
were believing.
Money, I did for a second. I did for a second. But this was ultimately, this was, and probably was before it all started, a fantasy world. Mm. So I am going to stick with real life. And the Leafs winning a playoff series was big.
Yeah.
The Jays pulling Barrios and having just an absolute dreadful end to their season was big. But I think I'm going to go with Kyle Dubas and the presser that got him fired. I mean, we've never, ever seen anything like that. It was the move that we've been waiting for so long for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're like, something's got to change eventually. Like, if something didn't change, we'd be thinking the same way about this team right now, where it's just like, we're doing this again. It feels at least different this year, partly because the team's different, but because the general manager's different as well because of that moment. So something actually happened with the Maple Leafs, the most critical generation, maybe at the most critical time in this organization's history, and they've been around for a long, long time, at least for people of our vintage. This was a huge, huge moment for the biggest sports team, I still maintain, in this city. Mm. The Dubas presser was unlike anything I ever seen. The reaction was wild. The consequences were massive. And now this team has changed forever because of it. So for me, the number one story in the Toronto sports scene was Dubas getting
fired. One thing, though. What if it was just, I'm Brendan Shanahan, and I say, hello, welcome to this press conference. Just so you know, we decided to move off of Kyle Dubas. We thank him for his time and his service with our organization, and we will be finding a new general manager.
The song and dance definitely adds a layer to it.
Yeah.
It was huge. The magnitude of it is huge, but the drama associated with it made it juicier. So I think for those reasons, it hits multiple, it works in multiple levels.
You know what that means? Judge Holly's got to break the tie. So is it Ohtani or Dubas? Holly, who do you got?
It is definitely Shohei Ohtani.
Wow. Yes,
there
Holly.
We go.
Woo!
We were having chopper watch.
We were
plane
nuts.
Watch. It's that.
Just so everyone knows, Holly and I are from the same small town.
Yeah, let's see how that we talk about recency bias.
But you know
how
what?
About hometown bias?
We
Hamlet
didn't even
bias.
Plan this.
The fix is in.
Yes. Shout out Sutton. You know what?
Yeah, like, shout out.
Not many people can say they're from Sutton, and two people on the fan pregame. Half of the fan pregame is from Sutton. So I love that Holly's sticking with me. We'll see if this continues throughout the rest of the show. So just Sutton, yeah.
70% of Sutton works at Sportsnet.
That's basically everybody
that's
in our
pretty
town.
That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. That's it. Here in Giant Tiger.
A category number two. We'll call this one O Canada. So now this is a little more nationwide. Mm. Christine St. Clair retires. Massive story. We knew that was happening at some point. John Herdman leaves the national
team. What
are
you, John Herdman's spokesperson in this show?
Yeah, a lot of Herdman.
Oh, he's going to make the next list,
oh
too.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it counts. The women win the Billie Jean King Cup. First time ever. They hadn't reached the semi since 1988. Those are all significant, but it boils down to two. The FIBA World Cup bronze by the men's basketball team beating the U.S. and earning their first ever World Cup medal up against Nick Taylor's incredible Canadian Open 72-foot putt, ending the streak of 69 years without a Canadian champion. Who do we got? We're going to start this one with Justin.
As I say, you're going to be torn because your boy Shea.
No, I'm not torn at all. It is Shea. Slam dunk without question. Whoa. I mean, okay, we fancy ourselves a basketball country now, right? Like, we talk about it a lot. Mm-hmm. We've got so many NBA players from Canada. The Vince Carter effect, whatever it is, we play basketball at an immensely high level in this country. So to not be at the Olympics was a crime. It was criminal that we hadn't been at the Olympics in so long. And then we got our guys. Again, I'm going to go on this rant again. We got our guys like Jamal Murray.
Oh, my God.
Love talking
enough.
About kids. Okay. But we still didn't have the buy-in. Despite all the investment, the talent, the likelihood of going if you just showed up for a tournament for a couple weeks. And we depend all on one guy and Dylan Brooks and a couple others. But we put we just put our fate in the hands of Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who comes through, beats the United States, clinches the Olympic berth, does everything for this country so Jamal Murray and the other guys can go to Paris this summer. But it would have just been an absolute joke if our guys didn't show up and we still failed to get to the Olympics despite us being a talent-rich basketball nation. So that the biggest accomplishment, the Northern Stars said it, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander did something immense for this country. Going to the Olympics is where we belong. And we will be there because of Shea and the efforts of those who went. It's my pick, and it's the right pick.
Nick Taylor did something that was almost impossible to fathom.
That what, winning a golf tournament?
Yeah, that's it.
The Canadian, what, the putt?
The that putt, the entire, it was like the entire country held their breath and said, okay, well, maybe he'll putt for, you know, maybe he'll get birdie, maybe he'll par. And it's traveling on the green. We went to the Canadian Open. I brought you. Yeah. I'm never bringing you again.
If I could have been in Jakarta, I would have been there.
I'm never bringing you again. We're watching this putt, everyone collectively, like, feeling this moment. It was like when I watched the Kawhi shot, bounce, bounce, bounce. Oh, is that going in? It is going in. We watched this putt go and go and go, and you thought, no way, wait, maybe, yes way. Is it happening? He has the putter toss. He's the Adam Hadwin getting tackled by security. They're popping champagne on the green. It's in Canada. It's in our backyard, kind of in Toronto. Adjacent.
And it's like an average field on a PGA Tour.
Whatever. It was unbelievable. They changed the Canadian Open logo to have him with the putter flip. It's amazing. It was such an iconic moment. And it was improbable because he is not the best golfer in the world. It was... He was like plus whatever money to, and luckily I picked him. So that was also part of this. He was in my pool of picks. So I'm happy and rich. But yeah, Nick Taylor's moment was unbelievable. 69 years since a Canadian won it. It was absolutely awesome.
But what did the two things mean? The Taylor putt means that you can't bemoan the lack of a Canadian winner for another year, or a great basketball nation goes to the Olympics and gets to compete for a medal.
Holly?
And entertain us all, or in that Holly 2 weeks there? In the summer. Holly, break the tie.
Call me when you win an Olympic medal.
It's, yes,
Holly! It's Nick Taylor.
2-0, the fix is confirmed.
Yeah, we at least like pretend there's no bias here, Holly.
He's being serious. It's me when you win a medal.
For the record, I'm with both of you guys too. Sorry, Justin's on his own here. No, yeah. I'm with Nick Taylor. It's one of the greatest moments of all time.
Yes, and I agree. You know what? I have dreamed of going to the Olympics. Like, that was my dream growing up. And going to the Olympics is great, but it is, what are you going to do there? Are you going to show up, Jamal Murray? Are you not?
They're going to show up.
I mean, yeah, they're going to show up physically, but are they going to show up?
Because of the heroism of a couple guys, including Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Our text line is open at 590-590. Please weigh in. It's 2-0 English. Not that it's a competition, but I'm winning. Next.
All right, next one. International stories. John Herdman. No, just kidding.
Oh,
no,
my
John
God. Herdman. I can't hear his name
Herdman
again.
In this one. Okay, here we go. Like, think of these, how big these are that didn't get to the final two. Women on the rise. The World Cup was seen by 2 billion people, up a cool billion from 4 years.
Cool billion, nice.
Previous. That's incredible. March Madness ratings, first time it was on cable TV since 95. A peak audience of 12 million people. That was huge. That was a record.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. WNBA expansion. PWHL was born. Great year for women in sports. The next one.
I love that one.
Didn't see this one coming. WWE and UFC merger. Huge story. Yeah. $21.4 billion deal. That was a big one. And surprising, didn't make the top two. The MLS gets Messi right after that big World Cup win with that big deal. So those are three that weren't exactly at the top. The top two. I know we already talked about them already, but it's worldwide. Ohtani gets $700 million. So it wasn't just him. It was the amount of money. And Saudi money soars. The merger with Liv, making Ronaldo the highest paid athlete in the world. They got their hands on F1. There's a lot going on with the Saudi money in sports. Who do you got this one? We go back to A-list.
I actually don't know. Like, this one, I'm torn between.
It's a tough one.
I think I'm going to go with Shohei.
Yeah, you are.
I'm gonna go with Shohei. I mean, yeah, $700 million for a player who is injured currently and might not ever pitch again, probably will, but might not.
That's not what we were saying when we were chasing him.
Well, when he was going to be a Blue Jay, he was going to pitch and he was going to win the Cy Young every year. It's different now. He's playing for the Dodgers. Good. But the drama...
And Yamamoto's never proved anything.
The Dodgers, yeah, they dished out what we will never probably see again, a contract. The contract structure alone blew our socks off. The $2 million a year and then deferral, like... Everything that went into this, the fact that he said, I want to take less right now so we can build this team that's going to be a dynasty and win, I don't know, 10 pennants in 10 years.
And like, so I don't have to pay taxes.
And I get that. And it's pretty much the most international story that I can think of, right? This entire country of Japan is going to be focused already on him. He's going to now change an entire market. He's going to change an entire sporting landscape. We live in Toronto and we're going to boo the guy because he thought about coming here and you said he never was going to, but it felt like he was already wearing a jersey. I was already thinking Barrios was going to give him number 17. Anyway, that's the international story of the year. It is Shohei Ohtani.
I don't even think that's the right Ohtani story. Remember when he struck out Mike Trout to end the World Baseball Classic? I mean, if we're talking about, hey, international stories affecting different countries, I mean, Ohtani signing with the Dodgers affects Japan and California, and I guess the United States and Canada. But, I mean, that was such an amazing moment.
It's
with
Shohei's year. It's a year of Shohei.
And Mike Trout to finish that, you know, Japan beating the United States. Huge. But I think it's got to be Saudi Arabia. I mean, like, Benzema, Neymar, all these, like, great soccer players that define the Champions League and play at big clubs, leaving and kind of doing what, having what happened in golf happen on a smaller scale in global soccer. It's just, yeah, the live thing was 2022, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I guess people don't care as much anymore, but like, this is something that's threatening the viability of sport. And I think for that reason, it just like remains the top international story.
You thought you guys were working hard today. Coach, Judge Holly's back on the line. He's got to break another one. Who do you got? Holly, Ohtani, or the Saudis?
I am actually going to go with Justin on this one.
I'm going to
go with
the Saudis.
He's throwing me a bone.
You're not even from Georgina.
No, I think it is. Just with, it was one thing for the golf, but now the soccer, it's just taking over everything. There was stuff about, was it the Wizards and the Capitals had something to do? It wasn't Saudi, it was Qatari money. Mm-hmm. But it just seems to be coming to North America, and I think impacting. Once Rahm went there, after he said absolutely not, I think it's that.
I think Holly's getting Saudi money.
Oh, boy. I'd be leaving this place.
But to your point, Rahm got $600 million or so. That's near Ohtani money just for him.
Yeah.
Just for him.
Yeah.
So they literally went out and bought a league. They bought the PGA Tour. They took it over. They took all their stars. Massive.
And yeah, and I said LIV was 2022, but the merger was 2023, correct?
Right. Right?
Yeah. And that was a huge story. Like, Jay Monahan turning coat and Rory McIlroy backing off and Rahm leaving. Like, it's just...
Nick Taylor winning the Canadian Open.
It's an ugly scene. Wasn't the meeting with Monahan in Toronto?
Yeah, it was. Everything happened during the Canadian Open, which made that win even more beautiful.
I'll give you that.
Okay, two more, and then we got Chris Cuthbert on the other side of the break. Okay, retired in 2023. Mm. Athletes that you're going to miss the most. So
me?
People that have retired.
Did you officially file papers in 2023?
I officially retired this year.
Did you?
Well, you're now on the list as well.
You
so we got Ailish Forfar. What about Patrice Bergeron, the guy you can't help but love on the team that you can't help but hate? Miguel Cabrera. Totally forgot about Miguel Cabrera. Triple Crown MVP World Series.
Forgot
and
about 5 years ago.
Technically, it was on paper. Jose Bautista was this year. He signed that one-day contract with the Jays, so that counts. But here's the two big names that we said goodbye to that we're going to miss the most. Wish that they were still around. We have Tom Brady and Christine Sinclair. It's back to Justin on this one. That's right.
This is a tough one because they were both washed.
Wow. Okay.
No, but like, I mean that in like, it was time.
It was time.
I wasn't trying to be rude, but like, we know when you get to a point where it's time to retire, I believe 100%. They were both at that time.
You reached that in 2022 and 2023.
I'm washed.
So who do you miss the most?
It's with all the mediocre quarterback play. I kind of want to say Tom Brady, but like, it's Christine Sinclair. Like, she could still play. She could still be at least an option for Bev Priestman. Mm-hmm. She's got enough left in the tank to be at that level. And I guess Tom Brady kind of proved that too. But Sinclair means so much more to our country, so much more to
the Canadian feel for sure.
The Canadian feel is way more important. And I loved Christine Sinclair. I hated Tom Brady the entire time he played. Although I can recognize that the league's better with Tom Brady in it. But it's Christine Sinclair.
Yeah, it's going to be really weird when the calendar flips to see Canada playing international games, going to the Olympics, or at least trying, like, without Christine Sinclair, it's going to be weird. But it's also a great reflection point because this team needed to change, like, the leadership or change who's getting the most opportunity to play. Like, we talked about this. Like, yes, she can still play, but was she best to be leading this team on the pitch? Probably not anymore. But I think that she's going to be involved with the way that we view this sport forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christine Sinclair is Canadian soccer. But at this point, you know, watching her send off, it was wonderful. It was incredible and it was time. So I think I'll definitely miss Christine Sinclair the most. But it would have been interesting. We had those Tom Brady discussions. Is he going to be coming back? Is he going to get, you know, make this grand return? But it'll be Christine Sinclair for a long time.
Took four questions for you two to get along and agree. And now let's see where we go at number five. Ready? So we're going to flip it a little bit. Mm-hmm. These are athletes that did not retire, but they're on the cusp. So athletes that we are happiest that they're still hanging around. We got Joey Votto. By the way, there's interest with the Blue Jays, apparently, if you read some reports. Rafael Nadal, who actually did retire and now is coming back. So Rafa's still hanging around. LeBron James, we know he's closer to the end than the start. So he's out there. But the final two, okay? Tiger Woods, who made his comeback, and he's playing right now. Mm-hmm. And here's a weird one. He's sort of public enemy number one, but Aaron Rodgers, you know, it's a lot more interesting with him in the league than out. So who are you happier that they're still hanging around? Tiger Woods, Aaron Rodgers.
I'm happy for two different reasons. Aaron Rodgers, because he's, like, so easy to create content around him, like, as people that talk for a living, he's always pumping out content.
Filler.
But, like, in a way that you're like, oh, another Aaron Rodgers story. But actually seeing Tiger Woods play somewhat well is interesting to me. He was playing with his son, which I think maybe why I'm feeling the most like Tiger Woods would be my answer, because I saw him playing some golf with his son, Charlie, and it looked great, and he did okay, and it was wholesome. So I'm going to say Tiger Woods is more of a wholesome story. Aaron Rodgers is more of like an angst story, like what's going to happen next? This guy's crazy.
The answer is Tiger Woods for sure. Tiger Woods is interesting because there are no athletes in any other sport that can do it not as well, and it's still enjoyable, mm-hmm. right? Like, you watch anyone. If like Jaromir Jagr maybe is an exception too because he's scoring goals in Czechia. But if anyone is just like sad because they're not as good anymore, like the Ovechkin thing is trending towards that. I mean, there are ample examples all across sport
yes.
where athletes stay too long and it's just painful. And Tiger Woods is clearly not the Tiger Woods of old. And he's not going to compete, I don't think, ever for another major championship or win golf tournaments despite him playing. But just watching him play golf, even if it's lesser than, yep. even if it's not as good as it once was, even if it's not even close to as good as it once was, it's still just a beautiful golf swing that I will stop and watch mm-hmm. every single time it's on the television. He could play until the end of time, and I will still enjoy watching it. Tiger Woods is the exception right. to the aging athlete. I don't care that he's worse. I still want to watch.
It's the red shirt and the black pants on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we spend their whole career, like, following these guys, and then get towards the end, and then we're like, ah, oh, they should retire. Get rid. Like your life is somehow better if they're not around. Give me as much of Tiger on Sundays in the red.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
It's nostalgia.
I'll take it.
Like, he brought so many people into this game. Like, he has created an entire generation of fans. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers has a little bit of that, but it's not to the level of Tiger Woods.
And it's always special for the guys he's competing with or against.
Oh, yeah. They cherish that opportunity.
They want to be there. That's they awesome. Want him to be there. And that there are always moments anytime he's on a golf course. There are memes that the hottest meme right now is Tiger Woods.
It is the hottest meme. Big dog.
and it's awesome. Like, this Tiger Woods is it is still the most beautiful yeah. swing. It's still a joy to watch. But he's also this like character who gives us more than just the shots when he's around golf courses and when he's in front of cameras. It's Tiger Woods. And I think it's going to last far longer than most athletes in terms of their send off years.
One more thing I'll say. I care way more about Tiger Woods' redemption story and like redemption in terms of returning from injury than I do about Aaron Rodgers returning from an
True.
Achilles. That,
but imagine how more it's much just how much better the AFC pitcher would be now if Rodgers was healthy and the Jets were good.
That's a lot of what
in the same division with the Bills and that sort of thing, right? So I mean, from an interest level, yes, absolutely. But from a nostalgic level, you can't.
Did
be
we
Tiger.
Get any wrong in your opinion?
No, I thought everything made sense. How did I do with the final
They're
two?
They're great.
Of each?
I love it. This was a fun idea.
Yeah, I don't have too many contentions.
Right? But you know what? That's what I love about this time of year. When you look back at these stories, it sort of puts it together of just what the year was, especially the Toronto focused one. We just realized how many big items that could have been number one on yeah. any other year were all happening in the same 12 months. It's crazy.
Well, we've got our text line open to 590-590. If we missed any stories, or if you want to submit any stories, or if you want to agree or disagree with...
Are you from Sutton?
...individual takes, such as Justin's, you can send that in at 590-590 or tweet us or send us a message. Chris Cuthbert's going to join us on this debate, so we should be nice because it's your father. The holiday spirit. Chris Cuthbert after the break on the Fan Pregame.
Big guests and bigger opinions on everything happening in Leafsland. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan pregame on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, we are halfway through our show.
I'm feeling all right.
We did it. That last segment was so fun, Mike. Reinvigorated the show. We've had a three-hour show gifted to us from the bosses for being so good.
Not at all a lump of coal.
We are on the nice list, so we get to do more show. So we appreciate that. Chris Cuthbert's going to join us in a minute. Ron McLean at 6 o'clock still to come, and Charles Davis at 6:30. We are hitting the best of the best for the next 90 minutes, so stay tuned. Mr. Chris Cuthbert, of course, of NHL and Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada, and father of Justin.
Mm.
What's your middle name?
Christopher. I'll give you one wild guess.
Chris? Come on, Justin. I'll give you Christopher one original Cuthbert.
Wild guess.
How's it going, Cece? Thanks for coming on.
I'm good. How do you like? I decorated the place just for this.
You look great. The background's good. Like, it's we're so glad to have you on. That's a last minute change that he's going to join us on video. So the effort is there, and we appreciate it.
We're trying. I've got a face for radio, but I thought for Christmas we'd try something. I was thinking of you last night, Ailish, because you are the queen of the Hamlet. And Jack Quinn is from a Hamlet.
Oh,
and so I wanted to test you a little bit. What a great guy, too.
I don't know. I don't think I know that Hamlet.
Cobden.
Wow. Cobden. Let me
do a
quick search.
Cobden?
No. Nothing? No, I don't know anything.
Where's Cobden?
I think it's northwest of Ottawa.
It is northwest.
And I checked because they said he was from Ottawa, but they always say that. And you have to check. And he's from Cobden.
Me.
And one of the reasons I thought it was cool is because he played for the Muskrat Minor Hockey Association in Cobden. So, yeah.
The
so I thought you could add
Cobden
that to the list.
Is
1,400 and...
Yeah, it's slim. 1,400-ish. Yeah.
Well, we're still working on Rinks Unknown, Ailish's Hamlet
like
series, and we'll put that on the short list of potential options for Rinks that Ailish will eventually
I will go to
visit.
Cobden one day.
And she'll try the
there
fries.
You go.
I'll check that one out. Okay, so Cece, you're at... what a beautiful display of hockey last night in Buffalo. Not a lot of cheer for Leafs fans, but... Yeah, I think maybe a bit reflective of where the Maple Leafs are at when they play lower opponents, what their goaltending is at, the fandom, et cetera, in that barn. What do you take from last night's 9-3 thumping of the Maple Leafs?
I'm not sure how much we should take from it. In the morning we were talking to the Sabres and they thought their loss to Columbus when they gave up 9 was a tipping point on the season. And so you hope that the Maple Leafs react the same way. But have we been kind of waiting for this for the last few weeks because they've been, slipping and sliding and always finding a way to come back and to get a point here and a comeback win there. But it always felt like one of these might be coming. And it was also kind of a Christmassy kind of result. You get these weird things over Christmas when guys have their Christmas lists going on and they're a little distracted by last minute, just being regular people. And so on one hand, I felt like it was coming. On another hand, you might think you could translate this into a deeper concerns. So let's wait till we see what they do in Columbus in the final game before Christmas to really figure it out. But one thing's for sure, there's some goaltending issues that could be long-term problems.
Yeah, deep, deep concerns, I think, with the goaltending situation. Now, Martin Jones has looked predominantly passable. He looks like a backup goaltender. It looks like you could get some decent starts from him. He could keep you at least treading water if forced to be in the net for a prolonged period of time. But the schedule won't just allow Martin Jones to take and keep the ball. It seems like someone else is going to have to start for the Maple Leafs to get them to the end point. That is Joseph Woll's injury timeline. What are the Maple Leafs going to do here? Can they afford to put Samsonov back in the net? Can you give up points by putting him back in the net? Can you concede? Like, what is the situation here for Sheldon Keefe and the goaltending? Is this a massive, massive concern right now for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I would think it is. I don't think you can go back to Samsonov in the short term. I think the best thing for him is to go down and play with the Marlies and try and find that game again. And I Christmas analogy, I'm a shiny new toy kind of guy. and I've been watching Dennis Hildeby's stats with the Marlies, and I'm intrigued. And it got in my mind last night as the first period finished, and listened to Elliot and Nick and Justin in the intermission, and I thought maybe this is the chance. And I'm torn because there are a lot of people who say it's too much too soon. They did hold him back a whole year to play in Sweden one more year last season, and that was a good move. And now he's only had, 12, 15 starts with the Marlies. So it is soon. But could you squeeze 10 starts out of him between now and the end of February? And we don't know when Joseph Woll's going to come back. But let's say it's the end of February. There's 30 games. Could you give him 5 of those and find out if he can handle it? Could you buy a couple of weeks' time for Samsonov to find his game? Or do you go with Petruzzelli because you're worried about the guy who's probably going to be the next one with Joseph Woll and Hildeby and not rushing him? So Martin Jones can't play all 30 games till the end of February. So there's the choices right now, unless you go out and trade for somebody. And, you know, Eric Schulgren came back in my mind last night, and I thought, man, if he was in the system, they'd be calling him up. But New Jersey signed him, and Eric Schulgren has 1 win in 10 American Hockey League games this year. So, you know, goaltending, it can go south in a hurry, and it's gone south for him when he was a useful guy last year for the Leafs. So I'm not sure, but I'd really be tempted on Dennis Hildeby, the Hildebeest.
Yeah, the Hildebeest. Ah, he's studied.
That's why he just wants to deliver that line.
Yeah, I like that. He's got it ready when he's got his first shutout. The Hildebeest for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I can't do your voice. But I did see Jack Campbell. He went down to the AHL. He's not even in the starters role in Bakersfield anymore. And that's like, you don't want to think what happens if Samsonov goes down to the Marlies and loses all his confidence. But Hildebeest's an interesting one. I get nervous because he's got something going right now that's really good with the Marlies. What if he comes up and his confidence is shaken? He's only 22 years old. But at the same time, I mean, the options are pretty limited as you lay it out.
It's desperate times.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. I want to ask you about Leafs and Sabres because it seems like one of the most fun atmospheres to go to. If you're either cheering, if you're cheering for the Sabres, cheering for the Leafs, that barn last night was obviously crazy, rowdy. When you're at all these away games, this must be one that you circle as a fun one to get up for.
Yeah, we get used to Leaf Nation being prominent at every rink, and I met a lot of people on the flight to Columbus today that said, you know, we got tickets for $40, so we can't wait to get to the rink. So they'll be well represented tomorrow, too. But Buffalo is one of those rinks where, you know, Tampa's another. Tampa's hard to tell because the Lightning jersey color is almost the same. So you look down and you're not sure. But in Buffalo last night, I mean, it felt like in the warmups, it was 90% Leaf fans. Now, I think we can confirm that by midway through the third period, it felt like 90% of the seats were emptying out. So, you know, a lot of people left early last night for obvious reasons.
I had some loved ones at the game. They still had fun. The drinks were flowing. Mm-hmm. That definitely helped. Just because you're not going to
believe this. By the way, just because we're at Christmas and we'll reflect, Justin will tell you that we did a family trip a few years ago to a Buffalo-Toronto game. And some of the family members are loud and can be rambunctious. Mm-hmm. And I think that night the Leafs fell behind 5-1 and our section was taking it pretty hard. But then the Leafs rallied with 5 in the third or 4 or 5 in the third. And
I don't remember this. When was this?
And the Cuthbert contingent, well, the Cuthbert Lattiser contingent that was in the rink, they had the last word. And let's put it this way: I was happy we got out safely because it got intense.
Yeah, the Lattiser boys can mix it up. I can vouch for that. I don't remember that night, but the Lattiser boys can mix it up.
Why don't you remember that night?
Maybe it was with the Lattiser boys. I guess that's what was preventing me from having vivid memories of that night. Okay, let's go to the Maple Leafs. Long-term play here. You know, if you're talking about Samsonov, you're talking about expendability. If you're talking about guys like Dennis Hildeby maybe showing up, he earns enough money to make him interesting on the trade market. Of course, John Klingberg's money is available to the Leafs. If you add up what they have, it's close to about $8 million to spend. If you're doing a shopping list, and if you're shopping wisely, I'm sure you have been ahead of Christmas here, CeCe, what do the Maple Leafs need? Like, what does this team need to feel complete in your eyes?
Well, probably how many things now? At least three things. You need some goaltending insurance. You need another defenseman that maybe more in the John Klingberg mold than the Hard Rock defenseman. I think you need a defenseman that's top four and can move the puck out of your defensive zone. So helping with the breakout. And I think you need a third line center who has good defensive responsibility, so you can kick Max Domi over to the wing and play three good lines. I think they look like they're missing one good forward to have a great top 12. And again, that defensive help everybody's been focused on. Chris Tanev would help this team. I'm not sure he's the absolute perfect guy, but Chris Tanev on the team would obviously make it a better team.
Okay, I know that the All-Star Game is something that we're excited for. It's going to be in our fine city, and you'll be involved. What's an All-Star Game wish list? Because we've seen Miami Vice. We've seen things being shot off of the Vegas Bellagio fountains. Okay, Toronto, we're here. It's kind of our opportunity to shine. It's going to be a little bit different. They're doing the player draft again. Is there a wish list you have for the upcoming All-Star Weekend in Toronto?
So for the player draft, shouldn't Justin Bieber and Austin Matthews captain one team?
I think that sounds perfect.
Should we not get Connor McDavid and a celebrity picking another team? There you go. I think
easy.
There's definitely some great opportunities here. Maybe Drake is the captain of a team with a star player. We could go East Coast with Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon picking a team. But that's only part of it. I used to have a lot of fun doing the old timers, and other people don't like the old timer stuff. They do that at the Hall of Fame. That's great. What I would like to see is 3-on-3 of the best young players in the league. Have a reason for Connor Bedard to be in Toronto. I'd like to see Adam Fantilli and Bedard and Leo Carlson and Brock Faber and Matthew Nyes and Juraj Slafkovský and you name it. If you've been in the league 2 years or fewer than 100 games, let's get the star guys showcased 3-on-3. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's too bad. I think it's a missed opportunity because in Toronto, it's about the hockey. And you don't need to do skits. And I'm not sure I could go through a third year in a row of these breakaway skits with Miami Vice and, magic acts and whatever. Going back to the All-Star or the teams, Team Hughes could, pick some guys. So there's a lot of possibilities, and there's more creative, younger minds than me that can come up with some good stuff. But I think we're going to be better and a little more palatable than it's been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it was Miami Vice, but something hit the NHL over its head after last year, and there's definitely going to be a change, and I think it's going to be a positive change. I mean, the biggest change is the 12-man field for the skills competition.
$1 million.
With $1 million on the line, half going to charity. I mean, money talks, right? We just saw it in the NBA, the in-season tournament. There were guys who were up for that because there was some money on the line. It's going to be competitive. The field's going to be competitive. I think there's going to be competition to make the field. I think some guys are going to be pretty disappointed that they don't get a chance to compete in it. Do you think this is the fix for the skills competition? I know you're not doing Miami Vice anymore, but do you have confidence that this 12-man field, $4 million, is going to be a hit?
Yeah, I think it's a win. I think it's a great idea, and I like the way as we get deeper into the field, the guys drop off, so it'll be kind of focused at the end the McDavids, the McKinnons, the Matthews, the McCars. You hope those are the guys that are involved at the end, but it is a good idea. I think, and you know what? It's more of the traditional skills. Hockey guys are the best guys. There's no doubt about it, but for whatever reason in the last 10 years, competing at the All-Star Game has become a little too cool for school. But I think there's been feedback that they'd be interested in this, and I think they'll try. And fans want them to try. They want to see the very best showcased, and we want wow moments. You know, Kendall Coyne gave us a wow moment a few years ago with her speed. And I'll go back to 98. You guys won't remember it, but in the shootout challenge, Dominic Hasek stopped about 50 in a row. And it was really impressive. And he carried that over in a very short period of time and stole the Olympic gold medal for the Czech Republic. And I'll never forget that. It just seemed like the all-star momentum carried over for him in that. And that was special. So I'd like some special moments at the all-star game, whether it be Owen Nolan pointing and scoring or whatever it might be. But let's get back to some great hockey special moments.
Justin's all geared up today. My old pro jersey. He could be at the All-Star game. We'll see. Maybe we get the call up. That would be a special moment. We'll put a word in with the bosses, and we might have a way in. We're talking with Chris Cuthbert, of course, of NHL and Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. So now we're going to talk about you because you're our guest, and it's the holiday season. Is there?
Let's wrap this up now.
No, we still have you for 9 minutes, so deal with it. Broadcasting wish list, something that you would love to be able to call, sporting event, whether it's already happened, whether it's something in the future that you would love to bring your talents to.
You know, I think you asked me this a couple years ago, and I didn't really have a good answer. And I started actually as the voice of a North American Soccer League team in Montreal.
Wow.
And it gave me my big break because the team was owned by Molson, who owned Hockey Night in Canada's production arm. So that was my foot in the door. But I always thought, wouldn't it be cool? And this is before Ted Lasso, which I'm a big fan of. Wouldn't it be cool to be the voice of like Manchester United or whatever else? So that would have been something in the time. But I'll stick to reality now and I'd really like to call a Canadian team winning a Stanley Cup. That's on the wish list now. That's the most immediate one. And it's not like I don't have the utmost respect when the Vegas Golden Knights and so many great Canadian players get to lift the cup, or Nate MacKinnon and company and Cale Makar in Colorado. But I want to feel a city in the country go through that 2 month ordeal and watch it end with a parade. I think that would be tremendous stuff.
Yeah, it's just been a little over a decade since the Vancouver Canucks were there. They're sitting atop the standing, so there might be some possibilities there on the West Coast. Not to bring up old memories, but is there a call you'd like to have back in your career?
I don't like that question.
Well, I'm asking it.
There's probably a lot of calls I'd like to have back. So I'll give this chance. So you put this on a platter because Montreal fans are still upset about my call of Suzuki and Caulfield in the overtime in game 5. And to be honest with you, what gives me the most trouble was when a puck hits the bar and goes in. And you're not sure and it comes out as fast as it goes in. I wish there was more padding in the nets. In fact, there was a game. Minnesota and Colorado had a series a number of years ago, and it was MacKinnon's breakout party. And there must have been 3 goals in a game that came out from the back bar as fast as they went in, and I screwed them all up. And it was really frustrating. And the same with the Caulfield Suzuki game 5 overtime goal. I'd love to have that back because it just wasn't worthy of the moment for sure. But touch wood, more often than not, I was lucky on the Tavares overtime goal. I know other guys because of, you know, Joe followed the camera because he was sitting in a studio in Toronto, which was unfortunate, and the camera followed Morgan Riley. And to be honest with you, I don't know if it would have mattered if you were in the building. You couldn't tell if that puck went straight in or whether it went in off Morgan Riley's stick. So in that case, the hockey gods were with me, and the Tavares call was able to stick, because when you waited as long as Leaf fans have for for a series winning goal, it would be nice to get it right. And so fortunately, that one went my way, but they don't always go your way when you're in the middle of it. And yes, my son would ask me that question. I know you would.
Ailish is so mad at me for asking that. And I guess I'll find out at Christmas if you're also mad at me for asking.
Coal
that.
In the stocking.
I do have some coal to put in the stock.
Let's spin it to the positive then.
Finish
so I can at least try
question.
To win Ailish back. Your favorite, the most fun you had watching sports in 2023. Do you have something, whether it was in the booth, on the couch, a moment in 2023 that just, you know, whether it brought you back, whether it just made you smile, something that you enjoyed watching in 2023?
Wow, that's tough. Because the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, I love every bit of it. And what was that long overtime game? Carolina, Florida, game one. I mean, we were absolutely exhausted. And we walked over to the rink, and there is a little bar restaurant. And I remember walking in beforehand and saying, are you guys going to stay open after the game tonight? Because they like to close early. And I said, we can bring a lot of people in. And they said, yeah, we'll stay till after the game. Well, they lied, because it was 1:30 or 1:45 when we ended up leaving the rink. And of course the place had closed, but so the next day we went in and gave them heck about closing too early. But that was fun. We like those games. I'm giving you a bad answer because I love what I do. And you know, the playoff series between the Leafs and the Lightning was special. And then, you know, every Stanley Cup final is special. So I wish the deciding game would have been more exciting, but I waited a long time to call Stanley Cup final. So every one of those is when they lift the cup in the building, that's as good as it gets for me.
Honorable mention to our very first episode of the Fan Pregame, which was on TV.
That was the answer.
You were definitely
that was the
watching.
Correct answer.
That was the answer, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I got to thank you.
You're probably just staring at your tablet. You're just face down
the Christmas present
on the couch looking at the tablet.
And you guys gave me is that I don't have to get up at 6 in the morning anymore. Oh. I can actually
just
turn over, roll over, and go back to sleep and know that I'm not missing you two. So, yes, the 6 o'clock hour has been, yes, the highlight.
Is there anything else on your wish list in case somebody hadn't gone Christmas shopping yet and was maybe last minute and hadn't got a Christmas tree yet and possibly no presents? Justin? No? We all good everything there, CeCe?
Justin knows I've reached the point where, you know, socks are good. You know, I don't have never have enough socks. I have a drawer full of single socks.
Okay. So, the sock monster hit up CeCe's house.
He lives there.
I'm a victim of the sock monster. So,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, I hope you get lots and lots of socks in pairs this time around for Christmas. We appreciate you coming on. Enjoy the rest of the work week and then a little bit of time off for the holidays.
It's awesome. I just hope we make the connections out of Columbus to get back for Christmas Eve. But yeah, you got to like my Christmas tree, don't you?
It's better than Justin's because he has none.
It is. Bring that home with you.
Yeah, I can't believe
put
it.
That set in, it up. Put that in your that. Carry-on if possible, CeCe.
It's like a Hallmark Ailish. Movie. Him coming back for Christmas, saving the day with a Christmas tree.
That's good.
I was going to say I'm a very much a Griswold kind of guy, so you'll you'd appreciate that. So, Ailish, have a wonderful Christmas. We're all thinking about you, and we're all very proud of you, and so happy you're part of all of us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, and we will definitely chat soon. Thanks, Chris. Enjoy the call and enjoy the break. Chris Cuthbert, of course, your father, and also a legend, Hockey Night Canada, NHL on Sportsnet. That's my favorite part of the year. We got to do it last year, our you know, our little family chat.
A mainstay on the Christmas Spectacular.
It was
yes.
really sweet. Oh, he's the best.
He was like tearing up there at the end.
I know.
He's like emotional. He's an emotional guy around Christmas.
Oh, that's really sweet. Well,
in the 6 p.m. slot from 6 a.m. to
PM. You guys have a Christmas event?
Oh, yeah. I'll be seeing a lot of him.
What day is that?
You
don't even know.
I think it's like, you know, spread over a couple days.
Whenever they show up.
A lot of events. You're just popping in. Basically, Christmas is for driving. Like, I'm just driving to different houses.
I spend a lot of time on the roads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I bet CeCe puts out milk and cookies.
No.
No? Carrots for Rudolph? No. Okay. Our show just continues to hit home runs. Ron McLean after the break, hosts of Hockey Night in Canada, and then Charles Davis to wrap up our show on the Fan Pregame.